Well, chef, well, chef, get in here. Good evening, TL Debate. Let me say, Brendan O'Davnia and Shah I Highland Radio. Welcome, everyone, to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now, we are going to hear a bit less easily, Shah.
There goes the hitter, and Donegal are returning to the All-Ireland Final for the first time in 11 years with a magnificent performance against Meath. They totally destroyed the Royal County. The Donegal supporters are on their feet, and Brendan Kilcoyne, we are heading back to an All-Ireland Final.
Indeed we are, Oisín, and thoroughly, deservedly so. We played 10 games in the Championship. Yes, we had that one bad day in McGoon Park, Tyrone beat us by a point, but every other day, the dominance that Donegal have shown, the composure that they showed today at crucial times, and the control, once they got that lead, the control they exerted on the field, every other position in the field, Oisín, to run out 20-point winners is phenomenal, so it is. It's a credit to the management, to the team, to every player out there, and the subs that came in, and of course, the extended squad. It was absolutely talked about it there a couple of minutes ago, Oisín. The team has never won an All-Ireland semi-final by 20 points in my memory. I can't even think of anything close to that, so it hasn't. So an awful lot to be positive with in an All-Ireland final. Yes, we've an Ulster Championship. Can they bring Sam Maguire back to the hills after 2012 and 92, Oisín?
Yeah, what magic stuff. I had to go straight into that. I just love the atmosphere from the ground and bringing it around everybody. You know, that was Oisín, of course, and Brendan Kilcoyne there. Of course, Brendan not remembered. He's a long memory too, let's be honest, if you're listening, Brendan, about semi-final victories. Listen, just before we get in there, I want to thank, of course, Donal Kevin for the news, Ivan Borden for the Power Plus. Joe Dix, my man, is here producing as ever. Listen, the colour yesterday at Croke Park. I mean, what a time to be supporting Donegal. It is absolutely dream stuff. In Jim We Trust, I mean, the team, the squad, is just playing unbelievable. I'm going to go through it now with one of our greats, John Gilday, is going to come on Zoom along with Meath legend Bernard Flynn. Later on the show, I'm going to speak then with Fergal Logan and with Neil Loughran of the Irish News as well. And we'll talk about the other semi-final and go through the two games and all the action from the weekend. Just before I get into that, a couple of people, Nuala Freel, big listener to school. Nuala Freel Wright, of course. She must have got married to some right guy. She found the right man, Joe. Is that a decent line? Nuala Freel Wright, I better in the skyline. Listen, so many people coming up about the show. Listen to the show. Listen, thanks so much. Parik Monaghan, I think I met his son now. He was on about his dad listening in. Parik Monaghan, had to give you a shout. There's another guy, Patton. We had a few in us at this stage from Scotstown. He was shouting, and he's in Scotstown a long time. We had a Monaghan twang. I'm sure I'll meet you down the road again. I also met a wee woman from Kincashla. She was saying her daughter's going out to McFadden Ferry. She'll be getting tickets to All Ireland, and of course we'll not even talk about tickets because that's too much of a subject for everybody just yet. We'll wallow first in the brilliance that was the semi-final. So I'm delighted to be joined by John Gilday and Bernard Flynn. Are you there, lads?
Hi, Brendan. I'm here.
Has Bernard made it in yet? Is he in there, John? You hearing us, Bernard? Bernie boy, he's pouring himself a wee cup of tea, is he? It's John. John, we'll get into the game there with you, John boy. Listen, I seen you up there at the game. You were taking a few pictures of me. I was doing a bit of doing a bit of political work on the sideline, trying to get a hold of Beale Martin. Now that's as much movement I can do in Croke Park. So thanks for a couple of pictures. You had your eyes on everything in the game, John. But listen, what a performance from Donegal, first and foremost, you know, coming into this match. You know, we were talking about a potential, you know, classic game, but listen, it was an absolutely destroying match from our lads.
Ah, yeah, Brendan, it was, you know, 20 points in Croke Park, as Brendan Kilcoyne alluded to in his commentary, was exceptional. I suppose, you know, we can look at this game, and I would imagine Jim wants to forget this game as quickly as possible and wants the squad to forget this game as quickly as possible, because it really doesn't do us any favours going into an All-Ireland final against the Kingdom in a couple of weeks' time. But like, it was an all-powerful, all-consuming performance from start to finish. I thought we started the game incredibly well. You know, this Donegal team has tended to start slow in various different games. I suppose Monaghan being the most recent one where we didn't get off the blocks at all. But I thought Michael Murphy in that first 15 minutes was a colossus. He caught a couple of balls, he kicked a couple of points, really set the tone. And then after that, we just eased into it. And I always felt, even from early on, Meath had a couple of wides. And as you'll know yourself, if you're a young side and you're in Croke Park in a big semi-final and you've been talked up and their manager was talking about all-star players and one thing and another, and things don't go 100% well for you, and you kick the first one wide, and then they started kicking a couple of longer two-point efforts where they probably felt they had to go for, and then it just didn't come off, and we just grew and grew and grew and strangled the game. And then Big Menton went off in the middle of the park, and really with that, the catalyst that they had as regards experience was gone, and the young Meath lads just floundered, and Donegal were ruthless in exploiting that, and they drove continuously from start to finish. And, you know, I was talking to people, a couple of people today, and the one thing I will say is, you know, people are talking about the clash of styles in the next game between the Kingdom of Kerry and obviously Donegal, but I've never seen, in all my time watching football, I've never seen a more athletic and pacey team play in Croke Park than this Donegal team right now. They've pace all over the pitch. Every man is working for one another. Even if you look into the last couple of minutes of the game, 3 minutes to go, 20 points up, Kieran Moore covered 35 to 40 yards of pay, of ground to make a tackle and turn over the ball. And young Finbar Rorty, who had an exceptional game yesterday and obviously was man of the match for RTE, turned over a ball in exactly the same way. Caelan McGonagall came on. Great to see him getting time. And he pulled a block out as if it was the last kick of an All-Ireland final. So the level of hunger and the level of application to what they were doing, even though the game was gone 25 minutes before, that was commendable, and it lends itself to an amazing couple of weeks here in Donegal.
John, totally agree. You know, you mentioned a couple of players here. I find it so hard to start mentioning people because so many players are operating at a high level, as did all the subs come in as well. But we will name a few of them in a minute as we get into it. But Bernard Flynn's on there now. Bernard, just from a Meath perspective, you know, all the talk, of course, about the big three teams you'd beaten. For me, the Dublin and Kerry game probably wasn't ones because I don't think they were there to be got at, but it was the Galway game. I think it had a bit of fear in Donegal in terms of pre-game because an experienced side had come at you, you know, but you said weathered the storm and came back. What was the feeling in Meath going into the game, Bernard, are you on mute there, dude, are you? Could you check your device? I can see that nice face of yours, but I can't hear you. Bernard's having a wee bit of communication difficulties there. We'll try and get him on. Bernard, you must be muted there, dude. Yeah. Listen, Bernard's going to try and get on here. John, just on that, you know, the Meath coming into the game, John, they've had a phenomenal season. Sleeping giant, of course, of Leinster, and you would know all about them from our time growing up. You know, it was fantastic to see them back at this level, but they were there on merit. You know, I couldn't make a case for them. I thought we would outscore them. Definitely not by 20 points, obviously, but I just couldn't see how their defence would hold us. But listen, was it a question of them early exchanges with the breeze, John, where they missed quite a few scorable chances? They needed something to grab on to in the game, and when they didn't get it, then you could feel Donegal start to really take control.
Yeah, and listen, semi-finals are, you know, they're unique occasions. The lead into them is a unique occasion as well. And there was enough, like, all year Meath had gone through as underdogs, and nobody had talked them up. Nobody had talked up their players. And then all of a sudden, you know, all these young players were in the public eye. People were really talking them up. They had the three big scalps, as you'd mentioned. But I suppose then when you look at some of the other results around that, like the loss to a Louth team, which proved to be very poor against us in Baba Faye, they struggled against Cork. They're thereabouts for Roscommon. So it was very much a mixed bag. And what happens in that is you're a young team trying to prepare for a big game and you're listening to all this. And even though people are trying to drown out the noise, it has an impact. And then you go into the game and things just don't go right. And then the flip side of that is you have a Donegal team on a mission that was absolutely ruthless. And while Meath can take an awful lot out of it, really, there was only one team in it yesterday from early on. And I suppose the fact that they had played in Division 2 all year. And I know from a Donegal point of view, we've played an awful lot of games, but we've played an awful lot of quality Division 1 competition. We've been challenged time and time again, as Jim said multiple times, in different ways, asked different questions. And that breeds a huge amount of resilience within a squad that you can meet any challenge and any adversity. head on. And thankfully, yesterday, they didn't need to go to the well. It was very comfortable. But I just think the occasion got to some of the Meath players. Donegal's ruthlessness got to it, and things just didn't go for them well. And the way the new game is, if you're 6 or 7 points up, you're not out of the game anymore. But as Kerry have proven against Armagh, and again Kerry proved against Dublin, if you get a run on a team, you can put up big scores very quickly. And unfortunately, Meath were on the wrong side of that and couldn't stem the tide.
Yeah, indeed. Bernard, how are you getting on? Did you get sorted there? No, he's still on mute there, unfortunately. He's trying to talk.
I can try to put on a Meath accent.
Listen, we'll keep talking. John, just on that, you know, you mentioned Mendlin going off. Obviously, it affected Hogan's kickouts. But, you know, Lavin, Rafferty and Ryan were having a great season. And Ryan had kind of played a lot of his football half back. He looked like a good matchup for Conor O'Donnell. You know, and just with those three-on-three, I thought it was a fascinating duel with those two. And then, of course, Finbar, Rorty, McCall, and whether it be Mogan or Owen Band, depending on where Costello, Morris and Freehan played. We were expecting a lot from these guys, you know, for what I've seen them, particularly again going back to the Galway game. You know, they looked like they had very quickly kind of established themselves as a solid team that could mix it. But like, they just couldn't handle it, Donegal Philosophy. I mean, that was the third Division 2 team we played, right? And when we went at them, we absolutely blew them away. Now, it took us the second half against Louth and Monaghan to properly kick in. But it was as if we had a two-week break. We were ready for Meath, and that wasn't going to happen again. And when as you mentioned some of the players, like we're playing probably, there's 6 or 7 players in that starting 15, you would say are probably kind of what you call half-forwardy players, John. So when Donegal sit in their defensive shape and they sit tight and they go zonal, whenever they get the ball in, you can't get it off them. And people was on a bit, like nearly all their scores, I think, by maybe Murphy, was there one free in it or two? You know, the reason for that is that Meath actually couldn't get hands on it, Donegal, man. I mean, when we moved it across their arc or their area, we were creating gaps because there's so many people, like a half forward would drop the shoulder, go round, and every one of them could finish. So it was just an onslaught then. And once you gain possession, it's nearly impossible to stop Donegal getting a shot away.
Yeah, and the other thing that Donegal, is apart from maybe one or two occasions, maybe when Ryan McHugh took a shot on that maybe wouldn't be, you know, a high percentage shot, outside of that, Donegal show a huge amount of discipline in the way that they rotate the ball around the arc. They wait for the right option. They're willing to be patient. They're all very comfortable on the ball. They all have speed to burn. So they can get out of trouble even when a press comes on them. And they're willing to take their time to set up the right shot. And because of that, then there's no pressure on anybody. The crowd then start getting on Meath's back, particularly when you're running behind and you're trying to press more. And then the gaps open up. And, you know, Shane O'Donnell's comfortable on the ball. He's moving from left to right, covering a lot of ground. Kieran Moore, Conor O'Donnell yesterday was exceptional. He had his best game in a Donegal shirt by a long way. And he's strutting around the park with a level of confidence that the team has in itself right now. And you can see that in all of them. Aye. On the ball, they're confident. Nobody's looking to shovel it off just because they want rid of the ball. Everybody's making the right decisions at the right time. And more importantly, everybody's willing to sacrifice their own game to facilitate the betterment of the man beside them and ultimately the team. Aye. And Jim has built an incredibly fit, athletic, selfless and focused football team right now that's as good as anything has ever been in this county. And you know, hopefully that'll come to fruition in the coming weeks and we get across the line. But it was very impressive. And the other thing that I really liked about it as well, and Jim has always done this from a Donegal perspective, there's a real connection between the crowd and the team. There's there's a bond there. Everybody from supporter to player to management to sub to kitman, everybody's moving in the right direction. And we had an incredible Donegal crowd yesterday. I think there must have been over 30,000 from Donegal, which is, you know, it's
there was,
it's
indeed
great.
And they were all in the M1 and the where else we could talk, Abbeville and all those places, Auchnacloy. But listen,
exactly,
we'll get rid of the tiredness and we'll come back to it. Bernard Flynn, did we finally get you? Are you there, Bernard? We're trying to patch him through on call. Is he there? We were trying to put him through on a call there. We're not having much luck with Bernard here this evening. That's unusual, that there. I don't know what's wrong with him there. But listen, I think, Joe, we were trying to get him on the landline there. But listen, not to worry. John, just an interesting tie-in from 2014. Obviously, Murphy, you know, was playing, McBertie was playing, and Ryan McHugh, you know, Ryan McHugh looked on it yesterday, his experience in there, you know, he was cutting out passes, reading the game, obviously serious intelligence of a player. And McBertie, you know, he was didn't really have a big impact in the game, I felt, particularly when he came on against Mayo and maybe Louth. But then Monaghan, he came on with a bit between the teeth. And listen, like, along with the other subs that come on too, but those three players from, you know, 2014, from that defeat to Kerry, vital to have that experience in there, John. And it's amazing that they've come now full circle, particularly obviously the man, the myth, the legend, Murphy, to be back in the All-Ireland final. I mean, it's phenomenal for these lads.
Oh yeah, and you know, before we talk about Michael, we could eulogise for weeks and weeks and end with Michael, but McBertie has really found that role for himself. And I know it's frustrating. He's a senior player. He's a team captain. You want to start. That's just in your DNA. But the way the game has evolved right now is Patrick coming in with 20, 25 minutes ago when the game has opened up. And ultimately at that stage, Donegal have nearly run you to death because you spent the entire match chasing shadows and running around after them. That means there's more space for the likes of Patrick to come in and get half a yard. And there's nobody better in this country with half a yard to put the ball over the bar than Patrick McBertie. So that's fantastic from that point of view. Ryan McHugh, outstanding yesterday. Cut out ball, broke. You know, I think he may have been not happy with his own performances maybe over the last game or two and seemed to really have a chip on his shoulder to prove that he has still got it. And I thought he had a huge amount of pace and then created a lot of attacks from Donegal. And then from the Murphy point of view, I left Croke Park last year against Galway and I walked out of the ground and I said to myself, if we had Michael Murphy last year, we would have been in an All-Ireland final. And I thought, like everybody else, Michael was going to come back and do not so much a cameo role, but we'd use him sparingly, coming in and out, yeah, you know, at the right time, at the right place, have an impact on the team and on the crowd. Yeah. But
that's because of the way he came on those games after his injury, and you're like, wow, look at that, you know, Armagh, Derry, he came on, completely changed the game. That's what we thought. We were wrong. Murphy knew better, so did Jim. Bernard, have we got you at last?
Brendan, sorry about that.
Hey, you're all right. Bernard, you know what? I was like a manager there needing an impact sub to come in, and I was like, hurry up, get out, get stripped.
Because yeah, I was starting to struggle.
You'll never struggle for a word, JG, I'll tell you. Hey, Bernard, how's things?
Listen, I enjoyed listening to John. Enjoyed listening to John there.
Top man, Bernard. Listen, thanks for joining us. Listen, Bernard, we're just mulling over the games there, Bernard. Listen, what's the feeling? Young Meath team, you know, they obviously, you know, in terms of this season, probably a bit disappointing. Looking back at it, they didn't win Leinster, but certainly people were saying they were back. But is this a bit of a sobering defeat for them, or was it just one of those games, young team, reset coming the next season? Or where do you think Meath are at?
Yeah, you know, the one thing we probably didn't want, to be honest, and I was listening to everything John said, made a lot of very good points, but he touched on something about maybe, you know, the lead up. I was listening to the point, a very well made point, maybe nominating All-Stars and stuff like that. We, after the Galway game, which was a huge game for us, there was a big disappointment. People might remember, like, we were sort of ready for promotion, beaten by Monaghan and Louth, very poor performances, then beaten by Louth in the Leinster final again there. So after that, they did pick them up exceptionally well. I mean, they did beat Dublin, they beat Kerry, and the Galway defeat really ignited the county. It really did. It got the juices flowing. It got everyone in behind the team. It's the first time I've seen it in years and years, really everyone gelling together. The jerseys, the people, the young kids and all that. We haven't had that. It maybe it took its toll a little bit on everybody. We maybe got ahead of ourselves on what was it really about, which is an Ireland semi-final. You've got to be prepared in an All-Ireland semi-final, a full house against a hardened, battled, experienced bunch of players at Donegal with an exceptional manager. If you're not ready for that, and I mean that with absolute respect, and you're not on the money, it's a serious place to go and it's serious business, and we just weren't quite at it yesterday, to be honest. In so many facets of the game, I mean, our bench made no impact, to be fair. We missed it. When we missed those chances early on, those seven wides, two drops short, it sort of drained the team. But we got a lesson in football yesterday on the field and on the sideline. And I just think if we're willing to learn, it's about choices. Once this group, because they're a very good young group, the 25 beaten will leave a bad taste. It was the one thing I didn't want to happen. I didn't see it coming, to be honest, to that extent. But if we learn and we do what the likes of Donegal and Jimmy McGuinness and Murphy and all those experienced men with Brearty, Ryan McHugh and all those good guys, they went back to the well several times and bounced back, and their attitude and application and work rate and commitment is what we need to learn from yesterday, because it was a sobering end to a season.
Yeah, and listen, Bernard, it's always very tough, and listen, your heart would go out the fact that it went that far against them. But, you know, listen, Hogan's had a great season. Rafferty, you know, basically debut season, unbelievable. And your full-back line had been operating well. Caulfield, the fitness, obviously Keoghan, Stalwart. Menton going off, obviously, wasn't a help. But, you know, the was it one of those games that Morris just happened to have against Galway? You know, I think him, Freyan and Costlow, they're all talented guys. You know, they all can do their thing. But, they, as you said, Bernard, they were just up against someone that really looked like, obviously, a level up in terms of, like, it looked like Division 1 against Division 2, but normally it would be much more competitive. But the way Donegal go about you, Bernard, in terms of they've so much, I mean, what other team in the country can put someone like a Pat Morgan at cornerback? It shows you Donegal's a tent, and for all Donegal's talk about kind of being somewhat of a defensive counter-attacking team, they get back into a shape zone, but by God, when they break, there are so many players. I mean, really, McCool is probably the only one that actually isn't breaking up the pitch. He normally is on the best man marker, and he tends to stay about the house. Everybody else is about to take off up the pitch within the 3-3 zones, if you like. So it's such a formidable thing to deal with. And John touched on the absolute fitness and ability, the team play of it. So when Donegal are at their best that they were yesterday, that was a difficult scenario for Meath.
Yeah, when you think of it, they scored 3:26 Donegal and had 8 goal chances and probably another 8 or 9 wides as well as that, if you look at it. Now, we had 15 wides, we had 5 dropped into the goalie's hand. So we did create chances earlier on. But going back to that point, I mean, the blistering pace, I mean, Finbar Rorty has been a revelation this year. Brendan McCall doesn't go forward because he's the one guy on every single game has man-marked, you know, the star attacker. I watched him closely yesterday. His attention to his job, which is man-marking the best player. Now, it was helped by, for me, Jordan Morris played too deep. I mean, you push Jordan Morris, you say, right, play in front of us, Jordan, there. He was playing too deep for my liking at all. I couldn't see the benefit in where he was out the field, running at an absolute stone wall, Donegal wall in front of him. But if you look at Morgan, the damage Morgan does going forward, and if you look at the likes of, I talk Kieran Moore, tactically putting him in our best back, and our machine breaking forward, Caulfield, that was a brilliant move early on. If you look at Murphy, it was Seamus Laughlin just could. Murphy set the tone, as John said earlier on there. His leadership and his scores when he's needed, his ball-winning, fetching ability, and those crucial 15 minutes when Donegal weren't going that well for 15, 20 minutes, Meath had a squeeze on him. So it's a big learning curve. We have some Morris is an exceptional footballer. Matty Costa didn't have a good day yesterday. You know, Owen Frayne, the likes of Rory Kinslow, I think, is an exceptional find this year. We do need to get a foothold and maybe strength. Young Gray struggled at midfield when he came on. Menton's loss was immense. It wasn't a difference, but it was immense. And Rafferty's me at fullback is absolutely brilliant. Keoghan, I mean, this man has given so much to the cause. So our bench was the biggest disappointment for me. Tactically, yeah. And our bench were the two biggest areas I was disappointed with. And the fitness levels, I mean, if you look at the way Donegal finished in that last 15, 20 minutes, John said it earlier on, the likes of Moore, but the bench, the pace from the bench, that's why I think against Kerry, my mind changed quite a bit last night when I was coming home and thinking it all about it. Like Jason McGee coming off the bench, Colm McGonigal, when he's going to get fitter in the next couple of weeks, Darrell Whale, the likes of Orm McFerry, yeah. McFadden Ferry, like the pace that they inject when they come off the bench, but it's their attitude of relentless grind. They just never stop. They're on a mission from the start of the year. They have not stopped, and nothing has fazed them. And there wasn't a word out of the Donegal camp and the lead up to the match. And they were just—they've only one thing: Sam Maguire in mind. That is it, and it doesn't matter. It's going to be a brilliant final. Two best teams in the final by a long way.
Yeah, you're right. Bernard, listen, some of the interplay there, even late on, as you said, me and you, of course, were very unselfish corner forwards. We'd always given the right ball.
No. We couldn't be accused of that.
But yeah, listen, some of the play, listen, even Gallen's ball across to Conor O'Donnell, I mean, some of the interlinking play when players come on, even Darrell Boyle giving that one to me, Bernie, you could tell when he got it, you know when you're coming on, Bernie, you want to get on the team and make sure you're in the final. And people are talking today, actually talking this morning, actually to Donal, we're just talking about actually making the squad now, because that, as you said, Keane McGonigal's back now fit. Owen Bann, of course, was out earlier in the season. It was different players at different knocks and injuries, you know, Gallen and different things. Now everybody's fit. I mean, Bernard is an awesome squad for... You mentioned all those players come in. They're all playing brilliant. And I was just saying earlier, you know, whatever... You know, Bernard, when you were playing at your best for Meath and with your club teams there, down in Mullingar, Shamrocks, and that, when you trained at a level which was above probably what you meet, and you can imagine that Donegal squad now looking at Bernard, we're probably training... You know, the last couple of weeks, maybe at a wee level above what Meath were able to bring in the game.
Totally agree. But I mean, that comes from the top. That tone is set by McGuinness himself. And listen, we will learn, and we've an awful lot to work on, but we have a lot to work with. But once we develop, and we need to, it's a decision that will have to be made over the next 6 to 12 months. Once we do, we make a decision to really put our life on hold and make our life and the Mead team our sole interest in life. That's it. That's what the Donegal players do. I mean, but I just love McGuinness is right. Ryan McHugh coming off at 54 minutes. Murphy after 44. There's no compassion. There's no emotional attachment. It's about the job and the team and what it takes. Taking players off the right. Caelan McColgan worked himself to a standstill, took him off as well at the right time, and then bringing the players in. But the fitness levels and the mindset. The buy-in from the players into their manager is probably what an achievement and a feeling for a manager that you come the likes of Murphy to come back and the condition he's got himself in mentally and physically. And he did look at him coming off yesterday. It's about the team he does. Now, we did have that with Sean Boylan in abundance. We put our lives in holes. We gave everything for 10 years to the cause. That's what it takes. The Dublin players were the same, Cody and Kilkenny, and McGuinness has that with them. And that's why, as another 2 weeks goes on and getting guys fitter and sharper, the Donegal 26 and the Donegal 21 that will actually play against Kerry, the more it gets closer now and after yesterday, they have a serious, serious chance, genuinely, of winning this All-Ireland. And Eamon Sweeney said it in the Independent today, and if there's one man that can come up and devise a system and, let's say, tactically, movements around nullifying Clifford, it is McGuinness. And there's nothing sure he will come up with a system. There's no way will David Clifford run riot at 1-9 or 10 in Croke Park and All-Ireland final against Donegal. It's not going to happen. And he will make sure of that.
Yes, Bernard, that's a great way to finish it off. Much appreciated. Bernard, listen, you're a legend of a man, top man, hero of all us wee boys growing up. We were to model ourselves on them jinking moves of yours in the corner forward. Listen, always great to chat to you. Me and you'll catch up around all out the final weekend.
See you, Bernard. Good
luck to you guys.
Thanks, Bernard. Oh, John, you're there.
Thank you, John.
Bye-bye. I was listening to Bernard. I never interrupt a true great.
I thought you popped. I knew you had something on there, John. I thought you popped out.
No, I have a couple of things that are vitally important to say because I'm already starting the hunt for tickets. And
here
I was over at the clubhouse earlier today, and the girls over there are flat out taking.
Well, Bernard Flynn is my friend, so he's getting me tickets down.
Good man, Bernard. Niamh Connell on the ball earlier. And then also on the way out the door, some unadulterated sponsorship here. They are sponsoring a space for their new car park at 100 a pop. Oh. And I thought I might sponsor one for you so that you could have a special parking space when you come to Glenties, if you're interested.
There was a time. Yeah, go ahead, we're doing out of time. Good man, Bernard.
I came back to Mullingar and joined about five or six of the Gaul boys in Mullingar, and a great bit of fun with them. The nicest thing happened to me yesterday. I met some lovely Donegal people, but I was coming back with my wife to the car afterwards, and this guy shopped, said, Bernie Flynn. I said, and who was it? He says, you marked my dad. My dad marked you. It was Matt Gallagher's son, Ross, who stopped me and stopped, and we had a photograph, sent it to the dad, and I was dying to know how we got on. We had a great, great chat, and that was a great way for me to finish off the game, today, to see to meet Matt's son, who I had a few good battles with. So yeah, that's nice. What it's all about.
Great way to finish off the link. Lads, thanks so much for joining us. I'm bobbing back out again. Cheers. John, because I didn't get to say goodbye. Bernard, we'll catch up later. John, myself and yourself will catch up. Brilliant. As well. Thanks, lads. Guys. Let's get ready for this fight.
Thanks, Robin. Best luck. Take care.
Cheers, man. Back after this break with Neil Loughran and, of course, Fergal Logan. Yes, welcome back to DL Debate. I just have to mention a big match countdown, Clanree, next Monday night, the 21st, 8 p.m. Tickets are €20. There's going to be a load of prizes on the night. Music, we're also giving a donation to charity as well. Oisín Kelly is setting it all up. We're also supporting the Donegal Training Fund and the Northwest Special Olympics. So get yourself down there. We have a whole host of guests coming. Joe Dex might even play some of his CDs. You still have the big bag of CDs. I think we're old school here. Folks, now I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Fergal Logan. Fergal, are you there?
Yeah, Brenton, hopefully you're hearing me all right.
I am indeed, loud and clear. Neil Loughran, are you there?
I am indeed.
Lads, thanks so much for joining us, lads. We're shooting the breeze there with John Gildea and Bernard Flynn just about the important semi-final. We'll get to the other one now. Listen, lads, all joking aside, I was down there with Owen Mulligan. Fergal, I'll come to you first, just around the Tyrone perspective on the game. And we don't know what we're going to get from Tyrone because of the season they had, but what was your feeling going into the match? I suppose you were looking for a big performance from Tyrone, but it didn't seem like they started well, but there was an awesome, I suppose, intensity and forward play brought from Kerry.
Yeah, well, I think the feeling going in was that the balance probably just fell with Kerry. You know, yeah, Tyrone, and I'm not abdicating Brian Doher and myself out of this. Tyrone have been inconsistent over the past number of years, so there's always that anxiety. But the bottom line too, Brenton, and I've seen it a lot before the Armagh game, you know, going against any team that has Clifford in it is a dangerous way to proceed. So yeah, we were always anxious about that. And, you know, it was a tough evening, and All-Ireland semi-finals, it's a big high platform, and when you come off them, there's quite a slap. Mm. But, you know, Kerry dug it out as well when they needed to again in that third quarter phase that did the business. And listen, the icing on the cake is a man who can just execute, you know, so, so well. You know, his goal was absolutely super. I thought Niall was out like a cat as ever, right on him, and he just had the sense and the wherewithal just to pull the dummy bounce, or the bounce, it wasn't even a dummy bounce, just take the good bounce out of it. But he travelled about 5 yards on the bounce, you know, the way he uses the bounce is just unbelievable, and he just nailed it with his right foot low and hard. And you know, sometimes you just got to hold your hands up.
Yeah, listen, he's an awesome man, and I'll get to some of his performance in the middle. I'm getting interested to get your views on it. But Neil, just from a neutral point of view, even though you're kind of a Donegal fan, I know you are underneath it all. Neil, from a neutral perspective, we had very good quarter finals, and everybody's the championship, and you know, so exciting. Now, I know Tyrone and Dublin maybe didn't catch fire, but then the semi-finals, you know, they were billed as potential crackers. It didn't really happen. From a neutral point of view, they were a bit of a letdown in terms of games and competitiveness.
Definitely were a damn squib, like, and I think, I mean, not that the Donegal result wasn't a surprise, probably the scale of it was a surprise, all right, like, and just how well Donegal ran away with it. But I think, you know, everybody would have expected Donegal to come through that. As Fergal says, you know, probably the consensus around the Tyrone Kerry game would have been that Kerry held the upper hand. I still had just this notion that Tyrone, I don't know, maybe it's just, you know, having watched Tyrone for so many years and always thinking that when maybe people aren't expecting something from them, that they'll pull something off. And Fergal knows this better than anybody after 2021 and the semi-final that year, you know. So I still sort of fancied that there'd be a kick in Tyrone. And even the way they started the first 15 minutes, like they went 4-1 up, and I was thinking, geez, you know, here we go. But no, it fizzled out. Kerry took control. And it was underwhelming a bit, you know. But, you know, it's easy to get carried away on that, because I think you have to look and keep the whole thing in perspective. You know, back to the provincial championships, how good a lot of them were when you think of, you know, obviously the Armagh Donegal game, the Ulster final was one of the best games I've been at in many a year. You think of the Leinster final and the drama around that. You think of the round robin games, you know. So yes, the two semi-finals were definitely underwhelming, but I don't think you can lose sight of you know, how good a championship it has been generally.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree. And it was just the way the games panned out. Fergal, I've mentioned 2021 there. You know, one of the things I thought of your team then, and it was an unbelievable season, but you really went man to man at times at the back, and you kicked the ball it was so refreshing and it worked for you, and there were so many aspects of your game. You went on that brilliant run. How did you deal with it then? Because we're back to kind of man-to-man again, but have Kerry got better at using the ball, better at running possession? Of course, we have the more of a battle in kickouts now. Has it been such a big change? Because you did play a bit of that style in that brilliant tournament, weren't you?
No, certainly we, as much as possible, went man-to-man. Like, and remember this, Brenton, and I remind people of this now and again, like our full back line, you're starting with Niall and Nets. The full back line was Michael McKernan, Ron McMee and Paddy Hampsey.
Yeah.
You know, so when you're dealing with that sort of equipment and artillery, you're able to say, right, lads, just take your man and get on with it. But I suppose the big change is the absence of six bodies in that area now. Mm. And, well, the keeper, I suppose, then your fourth man back. So that absence of bodies does leave more space. And that Donegal cut loose a bit yesterday in those pockets. And it's hard enough as a defender now, and a guy like Clifford, Paul Gainey didn't appear. These guys are, with that extra bit of space, are fairly super, you know.
Yeah, and you mentioned Clifford. It looks like he snatched it a couple early on. He probably could have had a hat-trick, but it doesn't seem to matter. I mean, Clifford, like when I was playing, I think, you know, if you had a couple of bad wides, you might be looking, I think I better get the next one because I could get hooked. Whereas he just kind of does what he does. And in that regard, Neil, he is so dangerous in terms of, it's only a matter of how much he's going to score. And if he's on his game, then like he's going to play probably at worst a 7 to 7.5, but he can hit a 9. And if he does, that'll be the tipping point in most games.
It is. Like, it's funny, I heard Sean Kavanagh saying after the game, you know, that about how we judge David Clifford, and, you know, because he wasn't given the RTE man of the match and stuff. And you're sort of going, geez, like, that's mad. But you're nearly judging him against his unbelievably high standards, you know. So this is a guy who scores 1-9, I think, in an All-Ireland semi-final. And yet, like, I was talking about it with a few guys after the match and going, he was pretty rash with a couple of early efforts. That one came off his head, you know, the ball into him and stuff. And he fumbled twice in the first half. You know, so you're sort of going, like, Even not at the absolute peak of his immense powers, he still does that. And I think what you're talking about there is with him, you kind of know, it's the old thing, if you kind of know what he's going to do a lot of time, but you're powerless to stop it. And he's so clever. I saw Carl Dillon posting on Twitter about even the way he uses, you know, the left hand whenever he's coming in from the right, you know, just to offset the defender depending on what way they're coming at him. Like the one where he left Paddy Hampsey for dead in the first half, you know, Hampsey, you could see he was expecting him to cut back in, and he just went on the outside and skinned him. You know, he just has so much to his game that you just cannot and again, you see the strength and the physicality of him as well, which is where, you know, you're talking about the difference maybe in a Dara Canavan at the other end. You know, like Dara, for all his wonderful ability and his skill, he doesn't have what David Clifford has there, which is that raw power and strength to just shrug guys off. A lot of times he's a freak in a lot of ways, like, you know, but he's a joy to behold, and we're lucky to have him.
Yeah, and listen, we'll get on the Kerry team in a wee minute, just about that, the engine room and their full back line. Fergal, just like on Tyrone, you know, PD Hart didn't start, you know, McKernan was back, a lot of us weren't expecting that, we'd heard rumours he might have been good, maybe looked a wee bit off it when he came on, but would you, looking back at it now, would you have started those guys? Is it hard one to call?
Yeah.
Did you need the experience on the pitch, Fergal? Because some people are saying, was there leaders out there? And people throw out that leaders thing, but you know, these certain teams can kind of play through people at some time. I thought Big Kilpatrick, like, still had a horse of a game in the middle, you know, but do we need Peter Hart on the pitch? Do we need, like, Kieran McGinney on the pitch? Or Kieran McGinney, Kieran McGarry on the pitch?
Yeah.
Do we need certain players? Because McKernan is very good on the ball, you know, in terms of like holding possession and being kind of, you know, very studious with it. Is that the type of player maybe then that Tyrone needed in this match?
Yeah, well, I don't think Michael had trained much or at all, to be honest, in the run-in, and maybe there was some evidence of that, but usually Michael's top operator, as you know. I suppose they're the decisions in management that you live or die by. Like, Petey we have an aging group in there as well. And then you're looking at a day like it was on Saturday and heat, and you're conserving energy, and then you're taking these judgment calls. And then you put young Michael Home in, who has been super coming off the bench right back to the Armagh game in Ulster. So they're all the live or die by decisions you make. And I'll tell you what, you have a long winter on the back of them. Yeah. So, you know, leadership, yes, you need everybody leading, but you just need functioning units. Brenton and Donegal have 15 cylinders on full battery yesterday, for example. You know, once you're down one or two and things aren't working out, then the house becomes come down a bit around you, and then all the leadership in the world and whatever, it's very hard to shift that momentum, you know. But you'd have loved it now. Neil was talking there about all the stuff, like add in all the Jason Sherlock introductions to the Dublin setup, these backdoor cuts and these wee shoulder rolls, and Clifford's super at them too. So, like, you know, I laughed at you saying about being reared in Bernie Flynn's jinks and chipping it over the bar and all, Brenton. My memory of marking you, you never chipped one over the bar. I don't know what you were watching. You went for the net every time. You took about 8 strides.
Bernard loves a wee G up. He loves a wee G up, Fergal. You know, you gotta. You gotta I'm looking for tickets, by the way, so I'm massaging everybody from outside the county.
Bernie usually chipped them over the bar unless he threw the keeper with a wee shimmy, and the keeper was lying there and he just tapped it into the net.
He was good at the shimmy, I'd say. If you got a howled them, though, there might be a lot of shimmying. Here's one. I was looking, Neil, you know, you look at the Darragh Kenneth's two-pointer in the second half. Listen, if you're looking at parts of play in Tyrone, you know, they started the game really well. The game, like all games, they're swinging on the kickouts, and both teams were pinning each other at times. But when he kicked that two-pointer, you know, I'm along my own Mulligan on the side, and he's getting pumped. Come on. There was no score then for, I think, about 23 minutes. Yeah. So you know, everything just seemed to go wrong. Even Rory Kenneman coming on and kicked that two-pointer, he misses it, then up comes Morgan. I was like, everything was going wrong. So, you know, unlike probably, like, obviously Meath were absolutely, you know, routed. You know, there was passages of play in there. Were we expecting more from Malachy O'Rourke in terms of his, you know, just the what he was supposed to bring to this in terms of he was supposed to be one of the best out there? Were we expecting more in terms of probably the wee bit of meat we're expecting in Tyrone in this game from him? Because everybody's talking about first year, there was always a big lift from his teams. Was that too much to ask in this first year?
Well, I think it's a fairly simplistic thing to maybe look at it that way, like as in, you know, Malachy comes in and all of a sudden, you know, you get this bump necessarily, like, because at the end of the day, he's dealing with a group that's still, as Fergal said, with guys at one end of the age range. There's a middle group there, and there's the younger ones who are still coming through and forcing their way into proceedings. You're talking about that period in the second half there, and when Dara scored that two-pointer, you were thinking, oh, here we go. But then I think they kicked five wides in 9 minutes, and that's just, like... And I actually wondered, watching it from the Hogan stand, I wondered, had the wind even maybe changed in a way at that part of it? Because certainly two or three of those shots really tailed off bad to the left. And I was thinking, geez, maybe they've just hit a bad patch where you can't score in, because Kerry weren't having that bother into that end in the first half. But whenever that happens, and you see Kerrigan up the other end and stretching it, and they're suddenly finding all this space, I think it becomes very, very difficult. That's when the head goes down, like, because you kind of know that you have to, if you're already trailing against a team like that with that counter-attacking ability, you know that you have to make those opportunities pay. You saw it with Donegal's efficiency yesterday, and that's easier when you're winning. You know, it's easier to keep knocking points over. The pressure's really on whenever you're down like that, and that's when the Tyrone player, maybe it goes back to what you're talking about, the leaders and stuff, maybe and perhaps a lack of that, you know. So I don't necessarily think he would pin that on Malachy. Just those are the kind of clutch moments where you have to, like, in the same way Kerry, when they had Armagh on the hook in that 15-minute period 2 weeks ago, they killed them. Like Tyrone had to make that count, and again, going back to 2021, they did. You know, the Tyrone's efficiency that day, when those chances came, the Conor McKenna goals and stuff. You remember, you know, you have to make all those moments count, like, because otherwise, you know, Kerry are just, if they retain control like that, then you're on a hiding to nothing.
Yeah. And Fergal, listen, all your time playing with Tyrone and then when you done the manager, obviously won the other 21 All-Ireland, won the senior All-Ireland. Your teams then, Fergal, know some of them games you really know you're on it and you have the opposition. Did you feel that Kerry now, particularly it's only 4 weeks ago, you know, the hammering from Meath and all the stinging, you need that bite sometimes. And Kerry, with being, they obviously are creating gifted footballers. It is about the bite a lot of the time, you know, tactics, of course.
Massive.
Did you think that, you know, particularly though Murphy, Foley and Casey and that, they were really biting at the your full forward line? There was a level of intensity, and I have to talk about O'Connor in midfield. You know, you talk about the brilliance of players inside, you need people in the engine room. So that was kind of fired up Kerry team. And I know people say, God, it's an All-Ireland final, you should be fired up. But sometimes, you know, we haven't maybe seen the best of Kerry, and particularly the likes of Tyrone teams and that have got about them at times. But do you think there, Kerry, since that defeat and all the criticism, even from their own county they took, that it's kind of galvanised them?
Yeah, well, even right back to 21, you know, there's a feel that they feel they were caught on the hop and all that sort of stuff. Last year's All-Ireland semi-final against Armagh, like, they were out the traps. It looked as if it was going to be easy. And then they get nipped again. Then they start the in-house criticism, which is the ones, or they're the ones that empty your stomach. People who you anticipate, you know, understand the game deeply, and obviously Jack O'Connor got rightly railed, and I'd say some of the players too, and some of the ex-players and some of the commentators around that. So you couple all that in together and you've got the perfect formula for a tip on both shoulders. And unless you've got that hunger and bite, Brenton, you're not even in the race, you're not even in the fight. And Kerry brought that on Saturday evening, and that's the bottom line. And even body language back to Clifford and all that sort of stuff, like, there's a feel that they're on a wee bit of a mission here, and nobody really stood out of the pack this year. And it's just now at semi-final stage, those Donegal, Kerry have both stood out. Semi-finals were lopsided at the start of the new rules. You remember those Railway Cup sort of exhibition games, everybody's worried about big lopsided score lines and two pointers and maybe four for goals and stuff. So they were a bit lopsided, the two semi-finals. It's not perfect, but I think the enhanced football and the rules, you know, it's damn going to be a damned hard All-Ireland to get tickets for, because you know, there was a while there the All-Ireland tickets weren't just as hot, but this one's going to be very hot.
You better watch down about Downing's there, you'll be getting plagued, big guy.
Don't worry.
Just on Tyrone, you know, obviously one in the both underage All-Irelands there, you know, there's so much talent and so much, like, listen, it's a football factory. Is this now going down the division? Do you think it's an opportunity to really, listen, I don't think you have to create a new team, but really maybe get a couple of players in key positions, as you say, and get that balance between the youth and experience?
I think, well, we've seen in recent years with Armagh and Donegal going down to Division 2, and they have recalibrated to a degree. Like, it, you know, as competitive as Division 2 is, it's not Division 1, and it does offer that opportunity to have a look at guys in a different environment. And like, realistically, there's probably not too many counties who wouldn't want to be in a position where Tyrone are at the minute, when you look at what's coming through. I know that there's no guarantee that materialises into senior level, but you have a damn good chance, or a much better chance than a lot of counties who maybe aren't producing, you know, aren't enjoying any underage success. Like, so I think Malachy in his first year, he'll have had a look around to see, not that he'll have been well aware already, obviously living in Tyrone, being involved with Aragon and so forth, he'll know what's at his disposal. But I would expect next year they'll use that platform of Division 2. Obviously, they'll want to get promoted again, but I think they'll try and use that to play the long game, the way McGuinness has done in both of his reigns with Donegal, and then as we saw with McGeaney and Armagh, you know, because the players at Armagh were able to blood and get through, who became, you know, not just starting 15 members, but, you know, obviously Armagh's All-Ireland win was so much based on the strength of what they had coming off the bench as well. And that was so much of that was developed in, you know, in that probably slightly less, you know, cutthroat competitive Division 2 arena. So I think that, you know, I don't think anybody would be too, like, if, you know, I don't think Malaga would be too disappointed that of where Tyrone will be starting next year.
Yeah, brilliant stuff, Neil. We're down to the last minute, Fergal. Just last wee one from you, just on that. There was a real buzz around Armagh and football and fans seeing me Donegal. That didn't seem to be the same with Tyrone this year. Is there something, a wee bit of miss around the brilliant success or what's happened around maybe that type of support? Do you feel it's kind of fallen off a small bit this season?
There's a bit of a feel to that, Brenton, for a football mad county, you know. Yeah. But having said that, last Sunday in Newbridge, we heard Donnelly, a Stewartstown Harps man, right? Like the buzz and the excitement. And
yeah,
the
I thought it was back for this. Yeah, I agree. In terms of it definitely was back for the weekend, yeah.
Yeah, maybe just the senior team and stuff, but it's hard to put a finger on it.
Yeah.
We'll need a programme on it, in truth. But, you know, we are producing good footballers. But there's some big thoughts and decisions to be made around Tyrone still. You know, it's not just the perfect recipe that everybody thinks it is and the magic dust. And there's a lot of hard work to be done.
A lot of hard work to be done. And there's a lot of work to be done for Donegal getting prepared for this Kerry conundrum coming down the tracks. We'll look forward to it, folks. And we'll be bringing you a big match build-up next Monday night from the Clanree. But for now, Neil Loughran and Fergal Logan, thanks so much for joining me on the DL Debate.
No bother, Brent.
Cheers, man.
Lads, fair play to you. I'll catch you down the tracks. Paul and Trudy are welcome out here with Monday Night Sessions. They're going to light it up with a few tunes and a bit of Jimmy Winning Matches. Paul McDavid, now supporting Donegal. Come on, Paul.